Hi, this is Tiara.
Hello, this is Allie.
And this is the Goddess Vibration. Welcome back, you guys. So today we are going to correct some misperceptions around soul connections, because we have noticed that there are a lot of distortions out there about soul connections. And, you know, I know we've talked about soul ties and soul connections and other episodes, but I don't think that we've really dived into what some of those distortions are, because I see so many of them, and I just feel like collectively it has such a negative impact on all of us that I feel like it's time to, you know, address some of these head on, in my humble opinion.
I don't really want to go as far and say soul connections are distorted. I think soul connections are just heavily misunderstood. And I believe that the people that we meet in our lives, we meet them for a reason. And I think that's where the misunderstanding or distortion, whatever adjective you want to use, I believe that's where it comes from. Because before we reincarnate, like, we have soul contracts, and we have soul contracts with other souls. And so us, if you don't know what's in your soul contract and we're on this physical planet, we are just meeting people for various different reasons. You know, some can be for friendships, some can be for acquaintances and needing to learn a specific lesson, or some can be romantic, and other times it can be a karmic relationship. I know karmic relationship, I think that there's a lot of misunderstanding, especially when it comes to karmic relationships, because some people say, oh, you're supposed to stay away from those. And I'm just like, well, in my personal opinion and perspective, we can view karmic relationships as a very specific lesson, because a lot of the people that we meet, we know them from past lives. And I don't think a lot of people really understand that. And so we'll make soul contracts with people, you know, before our incarnation, because we either need to learn a lesson, or it's meant for romantic purposes, or it's meant for many different reasons. But I think what gets really tricky here on Earth is free will. And so we're just meeting people that we might vibe with, or we're meeting people for romantic purposes, and it may be in the contract, it may not be in the contract, but either way, I mean, if you make a connection with someone and if you don't have a contract with that person, that's when these other soul connections, like these other people that come into your life, that's when it can get messy on the physical and in the 3D plane.
You know, I was reflecting on this a little bit when it comes to connections, particularly romantic connections. And I realized that some of the most valuable lessons and some of the greatest levels of growth come through the romantic connections that we have with others. Now, when it comes to the whole karmic soulmate, karmic connections thing, I think a big part of the stigma is how challenging some of these connections can be, you know, because obviously through challenge, we often grow the most, but we are of the belief that a romantic connection should look a certain way. Now, I blame Disney, and I have actually talked to people who have talked about
That's a
how they have these perceptions. Oh my gosh, these perceptions of romance and how people expect like for happily ever after, and they look for that and they strive for that and they try to make their and mold their relationship to look like that.
A fairy tale.
A fairy tale, yes. Yep. And I think a lot of us have fallen prey to that. And so we go into these connections, and when they don't look like that, we come up with these beliefs. And the one I have seen a lot is about how these karmic connections are awful and you should stay away from them if you can. And I'm not going to lie, I believe some of that to the point where I was like, you know, if I would have known this was a karmic connection prior, I would have avoided it like the plague, which obviously is not how it's supposed to work, right? Like, you're supposed to go into the connection and learn the lesson so that you can become a better person and carry that lesson forward into your next connection so that you can continue to learn and grow. But I feel like so many of us carry these distortions around romance that are not realistic, that we sort of come to this place where we get resentful and bitter and angry and get to this place in our society now where no one wants to date anyone. And everyone's just sitting on the sidelines, avoiding dating and avoiding the other sex because they just think that that's easier. And I'm just like, is this really where we want to go as a society? Like, is this really what we're going to do? We're just going to all sit on the dating sidelines and just avoid the other sex for the rest of our lives? Like, I can't imagine that this is where we want to stay as a society. What we should be doing is looking at what some of these distortions are around romance and correcting them. But that's not quite what we're doing right now. So, you know, I'm of the belief that things balance out in time. I do think that in our society right now, when it comes to dating, we are at a stalemate, like a dating stalemate in a sense. But yeah, I think we need to change our perspective when it comes to some of these connections, because these connections aren't there to ruin your life. They're there to teach you something. And if we could just shift our mind a little bit in that direction, I do think that navigating some of these, particularly the karmic connections, would be easier for us.
It's funny how you mentioned Disney, because I have a friend and she does EFT, and she has had sessions with people around relationships that essentially blame Disney. And it's so interesting because Disney has taught us, especially in the millennial era, like Disney today, it's more about women empowerment. Like, you see these stronger female characters, but in Tiara's and I's back in the day, it was very Disney princess, where we have Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty, Belle from Beauty and the Beast, the Little Mermaid. Yep. And so we are just like, one day our prince is going to come and sweep us off our feet, and that's what romance is. So it's really interesting how we, in many ways, have been brainwashed around what we believe romance to be. And so when we get into these relationships and it's not the fairy tale, it's like, first of all, it throws us where we're just like, wait a second, this is not what we were taught. This is not what we grew up with. Like, relationships are hard. Ask anyone.
They are.
Relationships are hard work, and it requires a level of compromise and communication and honesty with each other, because I feel like people enter in some of these relationships with this very idea or distorted image of, no, it's like, we're going to meet, we're going to fall in love, we're going to get married, we're going to have our kids, and we're just going to be one happy family. And if anyone were to Google the divorce rate or even look at relationships, people are miserable. And
so miserable.
I do agree with Tiara that really it's just a perspective shift. It's a perspective shift, and it's also the perspective shift for me personally is the biggest one. But I was very fortunate enough where my last relationship, you know, he said to me, like, a relationship is really meant to, a good relationship is really meant to bring out the best in each other. And that is something, that's wisdom that I will carry on for the rest of my life, because it's absolutely true. It is so true that we are really meant to, you know, when you're in a good relationship, when they bring out the best in you. And I know for me, I had found my right person because that's exactly what he did for me. He brought out the best in me. He forced me to look at myself. Like, I'm not saying we had this fairy tale relationship. There was a lot of trials and tribulations, but, you know, it's about getting through that together, and it's about bringing out the best in one another and helping each other grow. That for me is a healthy relationship, whether the relationship is successful or failed. I mean, and successful or failed is really a very black and white concept. It's just, you know, relationships evolve, and it's honestly, in my personal opinion, actually very honorable if you know when to move on from a relationship. Like, people try to, there's a stigma of people needing to stick it out and do whatever is necessary. And I'm just like, if it's not working, it's not working. Extract the lessons and move on. Like, I'm not saying it's easy. That's obviously easier said than done, and feelings are involved and an attachment happens. But it's like, part of growth is recognizing when that relationship is over, extracting your lessons, be grateful for the experience, and move on with your life.
You know, I really love that you talked about, like, really looking at what it means to have a successful relationship, because you're right that, especially when it comes to marriage, a successful marriage is two people who have been together for 20, 30, 40 years. Like, we look at that and we go, oh my God, that is so admirable. Like, how did they do that? Like, they're amazing. What a successful marriage. Without understanding or knowing what the dynamic of that marriage is, or if they're happy, or if they're just together because they're stuck in a codependent cycle, we just make this conclusion that that's what success is. And I love the idea of changing the perspective to be more about how the relationship pushed you to become a better person. That's what a successful relationship should look like. And I love that. And I wish more of us looked at relationships in that manner, because ultimately, yeah, a successful relationship should help you to evolve and become better. And ideally, you guys should be doing that for each other. But oftentimes we see the opposite. Like, we see these connections where people are harming each other or bringing out the worst traits within each other. And in those instances, that's when it's, I think, in my opinion, time to sit back and reflect on whether the relationship is the best thing for you or if it's still in a healthy state. And for whatever reason, we kind of stay in these connections because we have trouble letting go, and we have trouble with the higher awareness needed to really reflect on whether the relationship is best for us anymore. And I honestly think that a lot of those marriages that are like 20, 30, 40 years are not necessarily connections where they're growing and expanding. I know that in the past, a lot of women went into some of these connections and they did so from a place of, like, not surrender, but back in a time when women didn't really have the same power to speak up for themselves or voice themselves. And so with some of the older couples, you see these dynamics where the woman just kind of lets the man lead, and she doesn't speak up for herself. She doesn't feel empowered. She might yield to the needs of her husband and then neglect her own needs. And, you know, I've seen that with a lot of the older couples. You know, I obviously don't say anything about it. It's just, I know that a lot of times those connections started at a time when things were different. Now, I'm not here to judge those connections and say that there's like anything wrong with that or that we shouldn't admire a couple that's been together 20 plus years. I just think that we need to really understand that there's more to it than what we see on the outside.
I just want to touch base on what Tiara said, and I have a TikTok that highly educates me. I know how stupid that might sound, but I just do. And this was actually one of the things that came across my TikTok, and it made a lot of sense. Women back then didn't have an option, right? Because women weren't in the workforce, and women relied on men to be the providers, keeping them kind of stagnant and stuck in a situation where nowadays, because of the feminist movement, it's actually women that are actually requesting divorces now because women do have options. And so it is really interesting perspective to think about, like, how, you know, women couldn't work and they really were the homemakers, and especially if you have children. And because women weren't making money, even if they wanted to leave, they couldn't, because their husband was the provider. So now, in more in the modern times, it's like women are, you know, women are fighting for equal rights and women are fighting for equal pay. And now we're seeing the shifts where women are making more money than men. And now women are, quote unquote, becoming breadwinners. And now women are more in a position of power to say, you want to know what? I've stepped up. And I want to leave this relationship. And so it is a really interesting dynamic about, if you look at the timeline, how those energies have shifted and how we're seeing the shift in women and seeing the shift in relationships.
No, that makes absolute sense. And it's so funny because I feel like a big part of some of the dating frustration that we're seeing today is because of that shift. And I don't know that men know what to do about it. Like, you know, women, we do have options today. And a lot of us are asking for, like, a man that can do more than just provide. Like, we're asking for emotional stability, and we're asking for someone who can listen to our needs, and we're asking for someone who can help with the children and help with the housework. And we look for those traits. And when we don't see them, that's when we say, oh, well, I'm just gonna, you know, move on. I'm not gonna waste my time. But men, a lot of them, I feel like it's almost the opposite. A lot of them want a woman who will yield and who will take up the dishes and the child rearing and who will surrender her needs for his and will cook for him and clean for him. And I feel like the men haven't really caught up to what women are asking for today. And I think that's a big reason why we're seeing the proliferation of, like, the red pill and the black pill belief systems, where men are just like, you know, women they shouldn't be allowed to vote, and they shouldn't be allowed to divorce us. And yeah, we should be allowed to hit a woman because, you know, they're doing all these things and they're asking for these things that aren't realistic. And, you know, we need to get control over them again. And it's so distorted. And I wish that we could get to a place where we can understand and recognize that, hey, the intent is for women to have their needs met the same way men have for hundreds of years. And I don't know what the disconnect is. I don't know why that's such an issue for men today. I honestly do not know. But I see some of the commentary around this, and some of it is quite ugly. So it's just interesting what that shift is doing to dating and how it's being received by the other sex. Now, that's not to say that they're all like that, because there are wonderful men out there who want a wonderful woman. It's just there's still a lot of distortion out there that needs to be corrected.
I agree, but I also think that I think there's a couple things happening with men. I think men for the longest time have always controlled and have had the power over women because of our limited resources. And I think that as more women are on the up and up, men don't know how to respond to that. Men are just like, well, gender roles are changing. I feel like a lot of men are having identity crisis because they're just like, well, I'm supposed to be the provider and you're supposed to be staying at home and you're supposed to have the children, but here you are in the workforce and now you're making more money than I am. And I mean, some men eat that shit up. They love that. But most men also are just like, well, where do I fit into this equation? And I think a lot of men feel that way.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that this is another reason why we're seeing such a big rift when it comes to the dating scene and why we're seeing so many frustrated men out there that are resorting to doing terrible things because they're so, you know, unsatisfied and unfulfilled and they don't know how to navigate this new landscape.
Correct. But we started the episode talking about soul connections, so I kind of want to go back into that. And going back to the connection between having a soul connection or soul contract with someone versus having free will, because I feel like a lot of people have been experiencing this lately. Like a lot of people are in marriages, but they're just like, I have this deep soul connection with this person and it's unexplainable. And deep down, I know I'm meant to be with this person, but I'm married. And I feel like a lot of people ignore that call. And I feel like that is something that is very prominent in what is happening in today's society.
That type of situation is very tricky. And Allie's right that, like, we want to do what we think is right, right? And society tells us that when you're in a marriage, you stick it out through thick and thin, right? Like, from sickness and in health.
I was going to say, you take a vow. Part, if you're married.
You take a vow.
You take that vow.
It's a legal. Right. And it's also a legal thing, which is exactly. Crazy. So now you feel like this obligation to this person to stick it out through thick and thin, to be one of those couples that's been married together 20, 30, 40 years. Like, that's what we all strive for, because in our minds, they've stuck it out through thick and thin and they've somehow made it work 30, 40, 50 years. So why can't I? We want that level of admiration and respect that comes from having a successful marriage. So when you're in a connection like that, you're married and you feel a strong pull to someone else, it causes a lot of internal strife and it can cause anxiety and it makes you uncomfortable. Like, I experienced something like that and it made me very uncomfortable, like extremely uncomfortable, to the point
so uncomfortable,
where,
you guys. Like, next level.
Yes, to the point where I felt like I was a bad person. Uncomfortable. Like, there must be something wrong with me. Uncomfortable. I'm questioning who I am as a person and, you know, if I deserve to be punished for feeling the way I do. That's the level of discomfort that I know I felt. And I'm sure that a lot of people experience something like that. And the immediate reaction to that, when you feel that type of pull to someone else, is to repress it, suppress it, and quote unquote, do the right thing, which is to stay in your marriage and be the wife or husband that you signed that contract to be. And that's tricky to navigate. It's very tricky to navigate. And I honestly don't even fully know how to navigate it. You know, what I did is I just ignored it and I stuck to my husband because that's what I agreed to do. And is that the right answer? I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is. I think ultimately the right answer is to follow what the pool is telling you and what your heart is saying. But I also know that that can come with severe consequences. So at the end of the day, you know, you just kind of have to decide, hey, do I want to listen to this pool and deal with the consequences? Or should I just stick to what I've been doing and then just hope that it'll work out and I'll be one of those 20, 30 year couples? I don't know what the right answer is. You know, it's open for debate and discussion.
I think what makes it so difficult to navigate, especially here on Earth, is because of free will. And you have to bear in mind that free will, we're free to choose who we want to be with, regardless of what's in our soul contract or who we have soul contracts with. And it becomes this very push and pull eternally, and even sometimes externally, pending on whether or not you give into those urges to the pull of someone, regardless of whether or not you're married. And unfortunately, like, infidelity happens, and it could happen for a wide variety of reasons. It either happens because you're not happy. It could also just happen because you just have this intense connection to this person. Some people just ignore it because they want to stay faithful, but then that's when it becomes like a really big internal struggle where it's just like, why do I keep thinking about this person? Why do I keep dreaming about this person? And I mean, unless you know what's in your contract and who you have soul connections with, you might have absolutely no idea why. But I can almost guarantee you the reason why you're feeling these things is because you have this soul contract or soul connection to this person. And so, you know, society, especially if you're married, it's like what Tiara just said, it's a legal binding contract to someone. And it's just like, wait a second. Like, I've taken vows, like, I'm going to be faithful to you. But when you meet someone and you have a deeper connection, you're just like, oh shit, what do I do? Like, and I know Tiara struggled with, I don't want to break my husband's heart. I don't want to be disloyal to him. Like, I took this vow, and like, her husband was so traditional. He like takes his vows seriously, and it's like he looks at it as like a legal binding contract through, you know, sickness and in health. And Tiara got wrapped up in that. Like, Tiara was just like, okay, I have this connection, and I'm just kind of like, I think you need to explore it. And she was just like, I know, but it feels like such a betrayal. And I feel like so many people are going through this in the physical. Like, I know it's not just Tiara who meets someone and has this soul connection and there's this pull to each other. But if one of them's in a relationship, then it's like, you know, it's some people give in to the urges more than, you know, some people would like. But then there's also people that are like, no, I have to stay faithful, which I do find admirable. I really do. But at the same time, it's like, what are you missing out on with this other person that you could have a deeper soul connection with? And you could potentially be missing your shot at something really great and happiness. So it's a really hard thing to balance. And I feel like soul connections just don't get explored enough because people probably also don't know about soul connections and soul contracts.
For the record, this was when I was married. This was the other connection was to my twin soul, who was also married. But when we reconnected, we realized that we had the same deep soul bond and attraction that was there years and years ago. It's just like we chose at the end of the day to stay in our marriages. And we, mostly me, ignored it and suppressed it and repressed it because outside of that, there was just immense guilt and shame. you know, and I do know that there are a lot of people dealing with this type of dynamic, and it is so hard and so tricky to navigate. But Ali's right in that if you don't explore it further, you could potentially be missing out on something beautiful and wondrous. And the people who have had these type of connections and broken their marriages to be together, and that's worked out for them, like, my more power to them. Like, I admire the hell out of that. I don't see that often, but I have read stories about people doing that, and they talk about that there were major consequences and that they broke two families apart, but that they're happy. And that's a beautiful thing, especially if you feel like you have been are able to reconcile the consequences. Now, I don't know that I am that person or would have been that person. At the end of the day, my marriage did fail. But at this point, my twin soul and I are not in contact. So, you know, I missed out on that. And I take accountability for that and responsibility for that. But, you know, it's just, it's tricky. And you just kind of have to decide, like, hey, am I going to choose my heart? Or am I going to stay with what I know and what keeps me comfortable? At the end of the day, that's ultimately the decision that needs to be made when it comes to that type of dynamic.
So one of my favorite quotes is, comfort is the enemy of progress. And I mean, I just say that to people sometimes and they just like look at me with a blank stare and then they're like, holy shit. Like, holy shit.
Yes.
And it's actually so true. Like, it's such a, it's a short quote and it's such a simple quote, but it's so profound. And when, you know, when people take that quote and they start reflecting on it, that's when like the epiphanies start happening and you're just like, holy shit, what have I been doing with my life?
Right? Absolutely. And, you know, I was part of a Twin Flame Facebook group where people were in that same dynamic. And the person who was like the administrator of the group, like, she would comment a lot and she would always say, if your twin flame is married to someone else, you do not ruin that relationship. You do not pursue that person. You leave them to learn the lesson that they need to learn in that connection. You go find someone else. And I just thought that was so interesting. Like, on paper, it made sense. But then I was like, well, what are you supposed to do about this pull you feel to this other person? You just ignore it? Is that what you're supposed to do? And at the end of the day, I do think that's what most people do. They ignore it. As unfortunate as that is.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, like I said, it's the internal struggle of 5D connections versus 3D connections in the physical, where we are programmed to, once you're married for life. And you fight like hell to stay in that marriage no matter what.
Right. Right. And we are all, I mean, I can't say we are all, but many of us in the West carry that exact programming. And it's a can cause a lot of mental strife. And it does.
It absolutely can. And it does, because I see it in people all the time. And it's so crazy because I also see people come to me and say, like, oh my God, I met this guy and we just had this deep connection and I'm feeling all these things and I'm confused and I want to explore it, but I can't because I'm with someone. And it's just, I mean, I understand wanting to be faithful. Like I said, I find it so admirable. I really do. I do believe in being faithful and not wanting to hurt the other person. And I totally understand that perspective. And again, I root for it because I do believe in loyalty. But I also believe in anything can be resolved with effective communication. Now, obviously, you can't control the other person and you can't control what they say or how they respond or how they react. But communication can go a very, very long way. I believe in authenticity and I believe in being true to yourself. And I know that that may be controversial because people are just like, well, you know, this other person is involved. And I get all that. I'm not arguing any of that. But I also believe that if something is there, then it's worth exploring, which is why I encouraged Tiara to explore it. I actually kind of made Tiara promise me that she would explore it because I know what mental strife she was in. And I was just like, if this connection is there, you have to explore it. Like, I'm not saying act upon it. I'm not saying fly over there and hook up with him, but I'm just saying, like, explore it in your heart, explore it in your soul, explore it in your body, explore it in your spirit. And I'm telling you, just by being open-minded enough to explore it, not act, very different things. If you're open-minded enough to explore it, you might find some really profound stuff in there. And I understand the whole, I don't want to hurt someone. No one wants to ever hurt anyone. I mean, at least you shouldn't want to hurt someone intentionally. But it happens. And we don't live for other people, you guys. We're not on this planet to fulfill other people. We are not on this planet to make sure everyone else is okay. I believe that exploring it means you're honoring yourself and you're honoring the connection. And I think that there's a lot of power, a lot of power in that, and self-realization. Because again, we at the end of the day, we're here for us. We're not here for other people.
That is very, very true. We're here for us. And I agree that exploring that would be a way of honoring yourself and honoring what you're feeling, and that we should be honoring that all the time and every day. I just think a big reason why we don't is because of the programming that we've been so accustomed to that we've taken on as our truth. And I think that that negatively impacts so many people. And ultimately, it's the programming that's causing the mental strife. If it wasn't for that programming, I think many of us would be exploring those type of connections even while in other connections. You know, it's just like it's really about looking at the beliefs and how they've affected you and impacted you and deciding, hey, do I want to live my life based on these beliefs or do I want to live based on what I feel called?
Exactly. And I think coming to a place of authenticity within a person is one of the hardest things to achieve. And I do believe that, I mean, I can't even tell you how many people I've come across that is just like, oh, I met this person and I feel this connection and I'm like, why don't you explore it? And they like are just like, well, that's rude and disrespectful and you're not considering the other person. And I'm, you know, yeah. Although they may be making a valid point, I also point out, like, it's your life. You're in the driver's seat of your own life. If you're feeling a connection to someone, why not explore it? Again, I'm going to repeat, acting on it is one thing. Exploring it is a very harmless thing.
That's true. And, you know, you've mentioned people coming to you with this dynamic multiple times. I'm sitting here wondering, how common is this? Is this like one of the more common dynamics right now where there are people who are married or in connections, they have soul connections elsewhere, and we're all just sitting there ignoring it? Is that what is going on in mass right now?
Well, TR, I think you have people in your life right now who are in the similar boat. It's a very common thing. It's not like some new age thing where people are just like, you know, coasting and they're in these marriages. Like, no, this has been going on for thousands of years. Anyone who's connected to themselves and, you know, if anyone who has a strong enough intuition or feels this pull or attractance attraction to someone, that happens every day.
Of course, of course. Okay. I just, you know, when I was navigating that, I felt very alone. Like, I didn't know anyone else who was. Aside from some of the few posts that I saw in the Facebook group, but I personally didn't really know anyone else who was, you know, I didn't really have anyone to talk to about it. It was just kind of this thing that I sort of shunned and hid because I felt so much shame about it. So, you know, I personally do think that there needs to be more commentary and support around this type of dynamic, because it's a very specific and unique situation. And a lot of people don't know how to navigate it. They just feel all these negative emotions around it. And, you know, I wish that more people would come out and share and talk about it and reflect on ways to navigate it in a way that still honors them in some way, you know?
Well, I mean, that's the problem with people, especially women. Not women who are deeply in the feminist movement and women empowerment. Not so much those women, but there's a lot of women, and it's kind of in our nature. It's in the woman's nature to be nurturing and to, you know, think about others. And it's just, I feel like so many women get caught up in that gender role where we neglect ourselves and we neglect our needs and we neglect our intuition. Yes. And we neglect, you know, because we're always thinking about, well, my husband or my boyfriend. And it's just like, well, what about your needs? What about,
right?
Like, you're being called for a reason. Why are you ignoring it? There's no harm in exploring it. And that is what I usually tell people, depending on the circumstance.
Right, right. Of course. You know, I'm reading a book on compassion, and the author actually does talk about how many women in Western society have been brought up to, like, disregard their needs for the benefit of their husband or their family.
Exactly.
Or,
exactly.
You know, their job, and that in many cases they get to this place where they don't know who they are. They don't know what they want. They don't know how to speak for themselves or voice their needs. And that's very unfortunate. It's really unfortunate that that's happened to so many women. That's programming. And I think we're at a state in our society where we're starting to reflect on that and really starting to think about, okay, what are my needs and how do I go about, you know, fulfilling those? So very interesting shifts that we're starting to see in little ways here and there.
There are a lot of interesting shifts, but another thing that I want to touch upon real quick is I do think that on top of, like, putting other needs above other people, it's, I have to ask the question, especially for the men out there, because I do feel like because of the gender roles in societal program, it's like women are meant to take care of us. And I do think that that stigma is brought into relationships where it's just, I think women get so caught up in that, like, okay, my husband, like, are his needs being met? Is he being fed? Is, you know, is his house clean? And it's just like, we break our backs to make sure that our men are taken care of. And I feel like that's kind of been the dynamic for so long. And I just have to step back and ask sometimes, are the men really taking a step back to make sure that women's needs are being fulfilled? Are our needs, like, like, are we okay? And I gotta say, I don't think that that is a very prominent thing in today's society.
I gotta say that I don't think it is either. That a lot of the dynamic that we see is just as you described, where it's, you know, the woman taking care of the man's needs, but it also places the woman and forces the woman to go into her masculine because she doesn't feel supported and safe.
Exactly.
In the dynamic or the relationship. Yeah.
Exactly.
And so, I think that that's common. Very common.
So I have to ask, like, why are we always thinking about others? And why are we always making sure everyone else around us, including women, like, I mean, women, it's in our nature to be motherly and nurturing, but women also get lost in that and we neglect our own needs all the time. Yeah. And it's just one of those things where it's like, I would love it if more people, men and women, both, would be open to exploring soul connections, because soul connections, I mean, again, they're not all about love and union. It could also just be about, you know, needing to learn a specific lesson. But I do think we meet certain people for specific reasons. And I think it's absolutely, not absolutely, but I do think it's a little ridiculous that we neglect exploring those connections because of circumstances.
Agreed. Usually it's because of the physical circumstance, and that's what stops us every single time. But if there are men out there who are aware and realize the programming and want to, for example, be supportive and check in on their partner and see and make sure that her needs are taken care of and understand how the dynamic has been in our society when it's come to women for so long and want to shift that, I would love to have conversations with these men. I really would.
No, I absolutely agree. And so I just think soul connections are just very powerful, regardless of how, what type of soul connection it is, whether it's for romantic purposes or whether it's for a lessons learned, or if it's just, you know, to meet someone, to bring out the best in someone, or for whatever reason, like, whyever this person enters your life, because they will enter your life for, you know, different reasons. And I just think it's so sad that we turn a blind eye, or we run away, or we ignore it because of societal programming.
Yeah. It is. And I agree. And, you know, that's why we had this episode, because we wanted to talk about the distortions or the programming and how it affects, you know, these romantic connections. And we see it all the time.
And you guys, all we're missing time. Out and we're missing and we could be missing out on something great. Like, obviously, if you're happy in your current situation, obviously, like, if you're happy and if you're content, like, truly happy and content, then no, you don't need to explore other options. But I am saying that there are so many unhappy people. I'm talking about the unhappy people who are just like, well, I got to stick it out through thick and thin. And I'm just kind of like, you're so unhappy. Why? Especially if you got someone else over here that's like, hey, like, I feel this pull to you and I want to explore it. It's like, if you're so unhappy, it's like, why are you not even at least exploring it within yourself and just being like, you know what? Like, maybe this is a shot at something better. And if it's not better, if you were to take that leap of faith, and if it's not better, then that's okay, because you weren't happy in your current situation. And I think a lot of people get lost in that.
They do. And, you know, I'll take that a step further, because I know for me personally, like, I thought I was happy and in love and content. Like, I honestly believed that. And, you know, I think a big part of that was me lying to myself, but I did at the time believe that. So to me, in my mind, that justified me not needing to explore that connection further. And I think that there are a lot of people who are probably doing the exact same thing. This exact same thing.
I also want to throw out, like, Tiara, you can cut this if you want to, but
okay.
With Tiara in particularly, like, I know Tiara at one point was feeling very lonely in her relationship, and she did a Google search and she just thought it was normal. And I remember her telling me this little story, and I was just like, That's not normal. And she was like, well, according to all these forums and blogs, that's what's normal. And I was just like, yeah, that's not okay. It shouldn't be normal. Like, we're not on this planet to be miserable. We're on this planet to learn lessons, but also try to live our best lives. So if you're feeling like lonely, if you're feeling like, you know, not supported, if you're just like, don't think that that's normal. I don't care what the internet says. It's not.
So I hope that this episode at least gives some people a little bit of a different perspective when it comes to navigating this programming and these distortions and these connections, because, you know, at the end of the day, I do think that some of these other connections have the potential to not only help us evolve and become better people, but to really make us happy and fulfilled. And at the end of the day, isn't that what we all want? To be happy and fulfilled and, you know, and a connection that uplifts us? Like, we all want that at the end of the day.
No, we absolutely do. And that's why, like I had said earlier in the episode, like, I'm so thankful for my last relationship. Like, I learned so much in that relationship, and I am extra picky now, I guess, when it comes to being selective about moving forward in any type of connection, whether that's, you know, friendship, work related, acquaintances, romantic. Like, I really want to surround myself with people who lifts me up and doesn't make me feel bad about myself. And really, that's another reason why Tiara and I have decided to do the online community, because we're looking for like-minded people who are there to support and not tear down, because there are a lot of negative things, especially among women, especially competitive women, who are just looking to tear down other women and looking to belittle other women and belittle people. And really, it's like, isn't there enough hate in this world? Isn't there enough jealousy and hate? And I believe so. I believe that the world has gone to shit and people have no idea how to navigate it. And we are seeing the worst sides of people right now. And so that's why Tiara and I not only started this podcast to, like, you know, give advice and spread enlightenment and, you know, really kind of give a very true and authentic perspective on what's going on in the planet, but it's also because we want to find like-minded people who, you know, are here to love and support. And I just, there's not enough of that in the world right now. It's really sad.
It is sad. So the hope and the goal is that our community can be a place for that, a place where we can really come together and uplift each other and deconstruct some of this negative programming, because it has such a negative impact on all of us, and really navigate the rest of this incarnation as a team with the support that we need, and have a good time doing it, because at the end of the day, like, the community is also meant to be a place for us to all enjoy ourselves.
Life is meant to be enjoyed, you guys. And I know that it's hard in today's world and in today's society when everyone kind of feels like their life is falling apart and they feel like they can't get ahead and they feel like they're stuck or they're in bad relationships and all of these other things. But, like, life is really, like, we, like I said, we are the, we are in the driver's seats of our own life. If you're that unhappy, make changes. It's okay. And I feel like a lot of people are just like, no, it's not okay. You have to stick with it, or you have to do this. Yeah. And it's like, no, it's okay to make changes. It's okay to let go of things that don't serve you anymore. And that's why I really wanted to do this episode, because I just wanted to tell our listeners, it's okay to do what's best for you, and it's okay to serve yourself, and it's okay to think about yourself, and you're not selfish. I don't care what society says.
Yeah, especially if you're a woman and you are of that belief that you need to surrender your needs for your husband or your family. No, you don't need to do that. Stop doing that. Think about your needs too. Your needs are just as important as anyone else's. Consider that. If you don't leave with anything else, please consider that.
So I just want to thank everyone for coming into this episode. And I really hope that you guys, if we resonate with you, like, we can't wait to see you in our community. Like, I'm just so excited to build this tribe. I'm not saying it's going to be perfect. I'm not claiming we're going to get it right the first time, but I hope that we do get to build it together. And we will see you guys soon. Or actually, by the time that this airs, please join our community. You know, if you guys listen to our podcast and if it resonates with you, or if you're just curious, then hop on and meet us. And we can't wait to meet you.
Yes, and you can find our community on our website at www.goddessvibrationstudio.com. There is a link there that will take you directly to the Patreon, and then you can sign right up and dive right in.
Yes. And if you guys also listen to our podcast, like, we would love reviews. Like, please, like, hit us up on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, Amazon Music or YouTube. Like, leave comments, give us feedback. Like, we want you guys to be involved. And thank you so much for listening to our podcast. Like, Tiara and I actually really enjoy this project of ours.
We do. Thank you guys so much for supporting us. It really means so much to us. You guys have no idea.
So thank you, everyone, and we will catch you next week.
All right. Take care, you guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Don't move.